Bring in Joe Fisher, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores and our Ferguson Heating and Cooling Hotline.
Very good point.
Thank you. What's happening, Joe?
How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, about the same
about
as usual.
Void dollars not coming through that door. Anyway.
Well, Joe, you've been checking out this team all week as I know they get ready for Miami. And I remember in Bobby Johnson's post-game speech last week, he said, hey, Miami's going to come in here and try to do the same thing to us that we did to South Carolina. And I'm sure that message hasn't been lost on these guys as they've gotten ready.
You know, I talked to a lot of the guys yesterday, and especially a lot of the seniors like Curtis Gatewood and Theo Horrocks and Brian Stamper, guys at all, they understand the situation. They've actually in some ways been in this situation before, and they know that all the good work that was done last week can be lost if they don't show up to play on Saturday. And, you know, this is a Miami team that is 3-1 in the MAC. They've beaten Syracuse this year. They've been interesting. When you look at their schedule, they've lost to Colorado. They've lost to Cincinnati, two really good teams. They lost last week to Temple in one that maybe surprised some people. But, you know, they've been kind of, when they play well, especially defensively, it makes a big difference. And in their four wins, they're 4-4 on the season. In their four wins, they've given up 14 points or less. In their four losses, they've given up an average of 38.5. So it's pretty easy to tell. If the defense shows up to play, then they're going to be in it for the entire day. So it's going to be a challenge for the Commodores, and Mackenzie Adams getting his second start, see how they handle it.
Joe, you get the feeling that the Commodores are going to see a lot of bubble passes, screens, plays off the running game. So that means, for the most part, that you got to spotlight the safeties, Rashard Langford and Ryan Hamilton.
And they've been playing really well. I thought those guys last week were super, and as they were 2 weeks ago even. Ryan Hamilton really has come on, I think, this year. And he was a real force in that South Carolina game. And we may have talked about it earlier, Mark, but I think in some ways, I think Bruce Fowler's kind of taken the wraps off the defense a little bit and is turning these guys loose a little more. I think he's got more confidence in them now that they're more experienced, that they can take some chances. And, you know, as a defender, especially if you're a safety, you get that safety blitz call, and you love to just lay your ears back and go. And I think if you ask Blake Mitchell, he remembers what Ryan Hamilton very well. Because
that play to me, Joe, stands out as much as any from that
entire game.
And
that was on his own blitz, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on his own blitz, and it was funny because they showed it. And you know, Ryan came up to the line, then he stepped back. Blake Mitchell made a change at the line, and then Ryan came again. I think they thought they had checked out of that blitz, and he came totally clean right up the middle and put the face mask right in his chest and drove him right into the turf, into the end zone. And that kind of sent a message in that play.
And, Joe, you and Kevin often bring up D linemen like Theo Horrocks and Curtis Gatewood, but it'll be interesting to see how the D-line follows up after last week's seven-sack performance, because even a guy like Broderick Stewart has stepped up and drawn some double teams.
He's amazing. We've talked a lot about him on the broadcast because – he's such a rarity. He's not very heavy. You know, he's about 6'5 and maybe 230 or so. But he's a former track athlete. And you've got a guy that big that ran on a state champion 4x100-meter relay team.
And he's a guy that you can zone blitz with, that he can drop back into coverage and you can send a linebacker or a safety in that situation.
We've seen Curtis Gatewood do some of that. Bruce has a lot more options now with this defense. And they get a little bit of a swagger, I think, going when they start playing that way. They've had two games with seven sacks. I guess they've got, 19 for the season now, something like that. Miami has given up 21. Now, granted, they threw the ball 59 times last week, so there's certainly opportunities. But you can bet that the defensive line is kind of licking their chops a little bit, hoping they get the chance to do the pass rush again.
Joe, to switch over to basketball, I'm scanning the others receiving votes in the USA Today coaches poll. You would think Vanderbilt, a team coming off a Sweet 16 appearance, could get at least one vote in this thing.
I think this is all fascinating, and I guess a big part of it is the loss of Derek Byers, and maybe a little bit of the uncertainty of so many of these new players coming in, how they're going to fit and where. But I agree. I don't know how you wouldn't, at least early on, get a little bit of recognition. I think Kevin probably doesn't mind it. Being below the radar screen early is fine.
I can understand how you could come up with a top 10 or a top 15. But after that,
yeah.
I would say, don't you agree, Joe, teams 16 through 25, to me, are as good as, you know, you might as well go 16 through 50.
I was going to say, you might as well go 40. Yeah, I agree. In that group, they're all about the same. And it's kind of like they talk about in football. You can do a preseason poll, but your football poll really doesn't start to shake out realistically until mid-October when you start to realize what teams are. Basketball is pretty much the same way. So much of the non-conference schedules are not much of a predictor of what kind of team you have. And, you know, the thing for Vanderbilt last year was they got off to such a terrible start. That, to me, was the biggest part of that season. Those guys were able to turn it around, and Kevin and the staff were able to turn it around after going 1-3 out of the gate. That I think that gave them a lot of confidence. And practice has been fun to watch. It's very competitive. All the guys know they have a chance to play for playing time. And I think it's going to lead to some healthy competition for all of them.
Yeah, those polls aren't really worth the paper they're printed on in the preseason.
And a couple other quick things. I know you got to go. I think Jensen Lewis is going to be in town this weekend. There's a good possibility you'll see him at the football game on Saturday. The black and gold series for baseball started last night. Gold team won 7-4. It's interesting to see scouts at those kind of things, too, even this early, and there were some there for that. And had a great event last night. The Commodore Golf outing is later on today, weather permitting. Last night, a tribute dinner to Mason Rudolph. And it was really special to be there.
One of my favorite people.
Just a tremendous man. And, you know, Lou Connor was there, and Will Brewer, and Dick Horton was there, and, of course, both the golf teams and the golf coaches. And it was great. They've created an award, as a matter of fact, every year that will be given to an outstanding supporter of the golf programs at Vanderbilt, and it's named for Mason, and they gave it to Mason for the first year, which I thought was a very appropriate thing to do. He's very instrumental in Vanderbilt building the golf programs here.
Joe, thanks a lot. We'll be talking to you tomorrow morning.
Hopefully the rain will go away.
That's right.
All right.